has done.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening.
And I bet Pastor Cox is there too. Good evening.
Yes, good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Hello and blessings from Oklahoma.
Well, man, I know you got callers, and I'll sure let you know when they come on.
All right. Thank you, Richard. And greetings, everyone. Welcome to Hope is Alive. I'm Ralph, and of course, that is Pastor Cox. And I give blessings and greetings out to you listening to a very rainy Ozarks. We've been having a lot of rain the past several days and a lot of rain in our forecast. But it was needed. The streams have been low. The lakes have been low. And I'm glad that the Lord has given us good weather in this season.
Well, it's nice here in Oklahoma today, but we've had some rain, but nothing like you there, Ralph. The sun came out today, the wind's calm, beautiful.
Well, praise the Lord. Pastor, I've been listening to a series of that Pastor Peters had done back in the mid-90s called Words Have Power. It had been played on a rebroadcast a couple weeks back. I'd said something to Richard about, hey, can you send me the series and listen to it again? And I just want to recommend it out there for anybody that haven't heard it. It's a three-part series. If you don't have it in your collection, get a hold of Richard at the office, and I'm sure he'll be more than happy to send it out to you. Of course, the office number is 307-742-7582. But as I was listening today, there was a couple of proverbs that was mentioned by Pastor Peters, and I wanted to read them. But I wanted to read them in just a little bit different version. I like to look up different versions from time to time, but one of them is Proverbs 15:4. And this is from the Contemporary English Version. Kind words are good medicine, but deceitful words can really hurt. And that is truth, that our words have power. things that we say can heal somebody or they can curse somebody. And just wanted to remind everybody out there to kind of bridle that tongue, which we are commanded to do in the book of James, but to bridle the tongue, but also that when there are things you're feeling down, you're feeling maybe some sickness or some pain coming on, to speak the words of healing. And those are part of the I Ams, that remember that no matter what may come upon you, that the word is still true. By his stripes, I am healed. And here was another proverb that he mentioned in the sermon, Proverbs 12:18. And here it is from the Contemporary English Version again. Sharp words cut like a sword, but words of wisdom heal. And just want to encourage everybody out there to remember those things, that speak the word, speak positives in, that are in Jesus, that are laid out in the Bible, and they have healing power. Medicine is good laughter. Of course, he also mentioned Proverbs 18. Where is that?
18:21.
Yes, death and life are the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And I know Pastor Cox mentions that often, but just to remember that out there, that our words have power, that they can also open up doors by the things that we say to the demonic and spirit world, and it's just real important to try to maintain a speech that's good and Christian.
And Ralph, just to show how real that is, I have had demons from time to time, and when they were manifesting and I'm interrogating them to find out what legal rights might still be there with the person I'm ministering to, and I've had them say that their mission was to, and they were to prod the person to try to get them to say the negatives, or I remember a particular case, to get them to say they had the generational disease so they could put it on them. They were prodding the person to say it with their mouth so then they could put it on them. Isn't that interesting?
That's
right along with the word, how the word, what we say is what we get.
Yes.
Mark 11:23 and 24 say that very same thing, that basically we get what we say. So it's more powerful than any of us have realized. And of course, the flesh would rather speak the negatives. That's the flesh. But you kind of have to train yourself, I certainly have, to say the positives. The flesh would rather go the other way.
Yes, and it's just, you really, when you think about it and you start catching yourself, you just realize just how easy it is to speak negative things. And especially about yourself or towards others, when it would just be so much easier to try to bless in your speech and have healing and wisdom in your speech. And pretty much the entire chapter of Proverbs 18 speaks about that quite a bit. But it's just something I wanted to mention out there. Again, that we've talked often about the I Am Confessional, which that we've had out for several years, and I know that Pastor Cox with their ministry there in Oklahoma, they've got the I Am, so to speak, to really remind you out there to get back to it if you haven't, and speak them often, because we are many things in Jesus, and many of those things are life, and all of it's life, and life abundantly. You know, by his stripes I am healed. I am loved by God. I am redeemed. I am saved. I am a child of the promises, and the heirs of the promises. And those are things that we can speak, and they're truth. They're truth when you're in Jesus, that you've been repented of your sins, been covered and washed by the blood of Jesus, and baptized for the remission of sins, that you are these things in Jesus, and their promises to us, and it's just a great, great thing. And just want to thank you, Lord, that your word is true, and thank you that we can say these things, speak them, and the word performs themselves.
Yes, and I ministered to a woman today with a seizure problem. Her sister was sitting in with me, and after the deliverance, we went over the I Ams, and emphasizing that we need to be saying the positives, and even if some symptoms show up, don't receive them. but keep saying that I am healed, or I do not have seizures anymore. I'm healed of that. And keep saying those positives. Resist the devil also, as you might need to. But there's something so powerful and supernatural about saying these positives. What is the scripture in Romans 19? Even to call those things that are not. Romans, what is it, 4:17? Call those things that are not as though they are. And again, keep saying the positive. Again, it's against the flesh, but we can train ourselves to do it, and that's the way the supernatural operates. Amazing, isn't it?
It is amazing. You know, when I listen to that sermon, I think about this as kind of example. Back in 2010, there was a Rocky Mountain, we had a family camp up at Rocky Mountain, and I know that Rich remember this. One of the families come in, and I mean, chicken pox went all throughout about every family there.
bad chicken
daughter,
pox.
Yeah,
bad.
And my daughter had caught it. Fortunately, we didn't get it until we got back, and we wanted to, since our children were so close in age, that we wanted them together. So, okay, let's get it out of the way. Let's get both of them, get it done. And my son kept saying over and over, I am not going to get chicken pox. He even went and made him a shield and a sword, and he was talking about how he was fighting every bit of the virus. And no matter how much we put them together, my son never did get the chicken pox. Now, he got it several years later.
Hallelujah.
And he did not get it. But he kept saying, I am not getting the chicken pox. I am not getting it. And here he was running around about eight or 9 years old saying these things. And
that's cool.
It is. It's just absolutely amazing. And we've testified that to several people over the years, that those words have power. And just remember that, people. And that's then, again, that's a three-part sermon that you can get if you don't have it. Pastor Peter's words and power, words have power. I can't remember what it's referred to, but Rich will know what it is. And you can get that by calling him at 307-742-7582. If you want the I Am Confessional and you don't have it, he'll be happy to send one of those out to you, too. And, of course, I want everybody to remind everybody about DeliveranceUSA.com. That is the website to help those with deliverance, training, self-deliverance, testimonies, the prayers that are talked about often here on the show. And if you have any questions regarding deliverance or need it yourself, info@deliveranceusa.com, and someone will get back with you on whatever your needs are. And just want to remind people, too, as well, that if you can't get to Oklahoma City, but you can make it to Branson this year, there will be men that are there that are trained in deliverance, myself being one of them. If I can't find someone to take you through it, I'll do it myself and help you out if you make it to Branson, if you can't make it to Oklahoma City, and you're looking for deliverance. So just let us know. We'll be ready in season and out of season. Pastor, did anything else interesting happen this week with you, with ministering to anybody?
Well, we had 16 deliverances, 16 there for healing, and it was a great evening. Had a minister for each. So it was a very typical meeting that we've done now for 34 years, and went very smoothly. And I actually ministered to a woman that had seizures Monday night. I'd seen a lot of people set free from seizures, and in fact, I gave the one Monday night. No, it was the one today that got it. Well, I think, yeah, I gave one to that one Monday night, too. We have a CD of 6 testimonies, you know, on how to do that. So, praise God.
Praise God. And that is the same power that we have in Jesus, because Jesus cured people of seizures as well, too. I don't remember exactly where it is, but in the Gospels, but it talks about the one where it would overtake him, and he would fall down and sometimes throw him in the fire. And most theologians, most people that see that, believe that was a young, I don't even remember if it was a boy or girl, but that young person had epilepsy, and those are seizures. They'll throw people down in the fits, and Jesus commanded that spirit to come out. And that's the great thing, that he gave us, his followers, his believers, those that are the called out ones, in his name, that we can do these things, because we're given all power and authority. Luke 10:19, Mark 16:16, 15 through 18 talks about the that Christians will have the authority to cast out demons in His name, and that was a spirit that was upon that young man in the gospel where Jesus said, "Come out," and it did. And I'm sure that's exactly how Pastor Cox said that seizure spirit, "Come on out in Jesus' name."
Yes, and that's exactly what we did, and expect to have that, both of them for that matter, on the radio show soon. Praise God.
Praise God. Well, is that who's calling in this evening, who you worked with?
I say that again.
Is that who's calling in this evening? The person that is.
No. This is another lady from Kentucky. In fact, she just called me by mistake, and I told her to call the other number. So
yes, and guys,
Sandy's here with us. Sandy is here with us. Sandy, thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, hi, Sandy. I'm so glad we got the number straight, and here you are.
Yeah.
Sure appreciate it, and calling in to give your testimony. And so what you might do, if you would, just give a history on yourself and when you were born again, and then how you learned about deliverance, and then share any experiences you feel comfortable in.
Okay. Well.
Just go ahead.
I accepted Christ when I was 12 years old. Went to church with some friends. My mom and dad did not go to church and stayed in church throughout my life. And really walked with the Lord in a close relationship all my life. And when I turned 50, it seemed like a lot of things began to happen in my life. My 51-year-old brother got sick and passed away with cancer, and my dad got sick, terminal. He was sick for about 2 years before he died, and then my husband, at that time, I found out he was unfaithful again for the third time. So it's just like all of these things began to happen, and it just seemed like everything was falling apart and all at one time. And then after my dad passed away, God led me to this ministry called Reclaiming Hearts from Nashville, Tennessee, and I went to a retreat, and it was during that season that He began to reclaim my heart and just began to show me how, through all the pain and the trauma in my life, I had shut down my heart, and as I shut down my heart, I shut down parts of myself to Him and just began doing a lot of forgiveness work with people in my life and with myself, and just began, I mean, I felt open and alive. And then within, you know, and I kept believing that our marriage was going to be healed, but then within a year and a half after that process, we ended up going through a divorce, and I was married for 26 years. So, and I had a lot of beliefs in my mind from my childhood and from the marriage that I could not make it without a man, that I was dependent upon a man, that I wasn't smart enough, could not take care of myself, and all of those type of lies that were put into me even when I was a little girl from a father that was very strict and harsh. And so when he passed away, I already felt vulnerable in my heart because all of those lies began to come up. Could I really make it without him? And then going through the process of letting my husband go, where I had put that trust in him. And for the last 2 years, I've had the house for sale, and the divorce has been final for about a year. And this past December, Christmas was always hard in the last couple of years, and So that put a lot of emotional strain. And then the house sold, and they had the home inspection. And that was something that my ex-husband would have taken care of. And they had a lot of things going on, and it just overwhelmed me, and I began to experience a lot of anxiety and a lot of oppression. This was in mid-December, and I was sitting at home one night by myself, and I just heard, just the thought went through my mind, this is too hard for you, you might as well give up. You might as well give up, you might as well die. And I was like, where did that come from? Because I knew I wasn't thinking anything like that, and I knew it wasn't the Lord's voice. So I immediately called my, during this Reclaiming Hearts process, I met a woman in Franklin, and they call her the Mother of Franklin, and she's just a mentor. God has just really used her to love women like myself that have been through long-term marriages and that are going through that brokenness, and she had me come down. I didn't even drive down there. That's how bad that I felt. So a friend of mine took me, and I stayed with her for 4 days. And it was during that time that she got her computer and said, I want you to listen to this ministry from Oklahoma City, and it's a deliverance. And she began to tell me a few things. She said, just sit here and listen to it with me. So we sat on her couch, and as soon as I started listening to it, my stomach just got sick. I mean, I just got really nauseated, and I just got up and went into the kitchen and got some bread and crackers, and she said, Sandy, you need to come listen. I think that's a reaction. I think you need to really listen. So we sat there and listened to several different teachings about it, and when I came home, got back to Kentucky, I kept thinking, when I go on vacation this coming summer, I'm going to go to Oklahoma City. It's like I've got to. And I would read different things at different times when I had time. But then one day I read on there where he did sessions on the phone. So I got real excited and messaged him, and Everett, he was just wonderful, and he began to talk to me about forgiveness and how, you know, that we forgive in order to be forgiven. And I remember the first day I talked to him, I was thinking, oh, I've already done that work. I've been doing this for 5 years. You know, what's next? I just want to be delivered. But he encouraged me to begin to pray and ask the Lord who else I needed to forgive. And over the next 2 weeks after that, I was just amazed at how just deeply God took me into different relationships and helped me to go through that forgiveness. Excuse me. And then I filled out the papers and spent a Saturday afternoon with Everett, and it was just, you know, the thing that amazes me is that, I mean, like when God reclaimed my heart, I couldn't believe that I had made it through everything that I had been through, because I felt so open to him then. But when he reclaimed my heart, it changed my life. But then when I went through this, the oppression and the sadness and the thoughts that I can't make it and can't do this, I mean, everything just began to lift out of me. And during the experience of the deliverance, I actually felt I felt the presence of the demons, the darkness, the heaviness, and I could feel them each time when they left my body. And afterwards, after we would go through like different soul ties, like with my dad, it was really emotional, and Everett would ask me, when we had gone through the process, he would ask me just to be still and let Jesus love on me. And the Lord just spoke such beautiful words to me after each one, and they were words that were so perfect for when I read them now, I look at them and think, wow, because with my dad, it was all the things that I so desired him to tell me, but that he never was able to. And when I went through the process with my ex-husband, he just, that was the time that I didn't, there was a long pause, and I just felt the presence of the Lord really, really strong. And just like he was my rock, and like I could trust him, and he was steadfast and faithful and immovable. And for a long period, I didn't hear him speak anything, but then he began to tell me that it's okay, that it's all okay now, and that we've got this, and that he's abundantly supplying for me, and that I could relax, that I was safe, and just such peace in my life the last few weeks, just such an openness and such a anticipation and excitement about my future.
And Sandy?
Yes.
What was interesting also was we were able to get the head demon up, and which was
yes.
a destroyer, a rather common
yes.
head demon, actually. And it disclosed some things. And among the top 10 lies that it had been speaking into you, into your head. And,
yes.
and it was exactly the same thing what I wrote down on the yellow tablet that you were just saying. You'd been hearing
yes.
in your head. And the
yes.
head demon also admitted that the opposite of the lies is the truth.
Yes.
And so after the deliverance, we went through the lies and reversed them. That'll make a guy feel better right off. Amen.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, I just happened to have those in front of me, but it was saying those things like you can't take this any longer, you might as well give up,
yes.
and so on. So
yes.
lies, and that's common with so many people, whether we get the head demon up or not, there's lies that the enemy somehow can push into people's heads where they often think it's their own thoughts.
Yes.
And sometimes they actually even hear voices, but most of the time it comes in a form of thoughts, and the person
yes.
thinks they're thinking it. But you recognize that that didn't
yes.
that wasn't you.
Yes, yes, I did. It was like, wait a minute.
You weren't buying the lies like a lot of people do.
Well,
I was
cool. weak, and I was oppressed, and I was overwhelmed, and it did scare me. And the Lord spoke to me to call Packer in Tennessee, and I knew to be obedient. I didn't hesitate. I went and called. So
mm-hmm.
it's just a matter of really listening to the Lord and being obedient to the little things when he asks us to do them.
And Sandy, another thing was pretty exciting. The demons don't like to do this, but we had it stick its head in the storehouse within you that holds the God-given gifts. And it started
yes.
naming them off. And were you surprised at those gifts that you got?
Yes, and I look over those quite often now, and it's exciting. And it's good to... I'm beginning to hear those things in my head. Like, I'll be at work, and they'll just go through my head instead of the lies.
Yes. As I recall, you marked on your list, you had kind of a problem of speaking to a crowd. Is
yes.
that right? A fear
yes,
of speaking
that's correct.
To a crowd.
Yes.
And one of your very gifts that the demon gave is that you have a gift of speaking.
Yes. Yes.
How about that? See, their mission is to actually block the gifts that God's given us, and to try to talk us out of them in every way and block our lives, our destiny,
yes.
so we won't do them. So, and I, in fact, I interrogate the demon on that. Is that why you fought this person so hard? And they'll always say yes, because their mission is to block the gifts, and they do a great job with many Christians of blocking their gifts.
Yeah.
But praise God, you're free of that.
Yes, and I do praise God. I'm very grateful. Grateful for the deliverance ministry and the work that you all are doing. And grateful for technology that we could, that we have Skype and we have FaceTime to where we could do that, and I didn't have to wait till summertime to come to Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's right. It's a long way from Kentucky.
I was willing. So,
it worked out pretty good. Well, what other changes have you noticed, Sandy, since your ministry session? Are there any others you noticed?
There seems to be an opening and expansion inside of me. In which I don't know how, I mean, that's the best words I can describe it, but it feels, from being oppressed for so long within me, it feels good to feel that opening and that release and like space. I mean, it's a good, good thing.
Yes, for sure.
Well, it's still going through a lot. I'm getting ready to move, but I'm beginning to get excited about it and confident that when God called me out of the marriage, that he knew when I would be moving and he will guide my steps, you know, and just trusting and listening to him step by step.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
And like you say, when that voice does come, just immediately using my free will to say no and to stop it in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Not to even allow it
to. Remember, cherish the thought.
Yes.
Remember,
yes.
We went over that. So that's one of the things that one of our team leaders came up with, and that really works well when those lies come at us. Just cherish the thought. Getting deliverance doesn't mean the lies are going to go away. But you learn how to deal with them and recognize them and not buy them. Praise God.
Yeah. And how to do it a lot quicker.
Right. Well, are you seeing other people doing deliverance in Kentucky?
No.
Well.
No, not that I'm aware of.
Maybe it's your mission to set Kentucky free.
Hey. My gift sure would align with
that.
The
Lord expects
you to use those
gifts, you know.
Yes, and I want to. I want to.
Yes, well, he will use you.
Yes, with everything you just told that you've overcame and was delivered, had those deliverance from those spirits that it seemed like it was just pouring on you at all once. You know, when it rains, it pours.
Yeah.
But it is praise God that you recognize that voice was not for your well-being. It's because you might as well just end it all. But just for your testimony alone, you'll be able to, when people see the difference in you that know you and around you, they're going to see the difference in you. And when they see that difference in you, then you can give the testimony of what you did. And even if it isn't you setting them free personally, then you can get them to the website, get them to the tools are there. Sandy, we do really appreciate you calling this evening, but we have our next caller on. So thank you for joining us, and have yourself a wonderful evening.
You're welcome.
Okay?
Okay, thank you,
Sandy. Blessings.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Barbara, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Carmel. How's everything in California?
Oh, well, it's going pretty well. I live up in Northern California, so we've had some snow, but today is the first really warm day, so we've got spring here finally, officially. It's nice.
Wow. Yeah, it's a sunny day here for a change. We've had a number of days of rainy weather. It's great to see the sun out. California has the edge on us on sun anyway, though. So it's a beautiful area out there. Well, Carmel, if you could go ahead and give some history on yourself out there and when you got born again, and then how you learned about deliverance and experiences you've had along these lines, and even if you're comfortable in sharing.
Sure. Well, I'm in my early 50s, and back in the, 1990 is when I came to the Lord. I was a college student, and I was blessed to have a fairly old-fashioned, high-moral family background and upbringing, so I kind of gravitated towards kind of being a fairly, you know, decent human being. But of course, I did not have Jesus in my life, and so I, you know, made some mistakes and dabbled in some things I shouldn't have. And I was very fortunate that I was teaching aerobics to put myself through college at the time, and I had several different aerobics students who were actually inviting me to church. So I had visited several different churches I was seeking. I did believe there was a God, but I just didn't know Jesus. And a couple of my friends told me, these churches you're visiting, you know, just aren't scripturally sound. They're not good doctrine. And I, of course, didn't really understand. But fortunately, I was brought to a really good Christian Bible-believing church and came to know God in February of 1990, and my life got radically changed.
Praise God.
Amen.
So what happened from there?
Well, it was a process. Over time, I changed my way of thinking and my approach to life and to people and to relationships. And in 1992, when I was still fairly young baby Christian, I married, and at the time, I believed that my husband at the moment, at that time, was a Christian, but apparently he truly wasn't. And I think he told me what he wanted me to know to get married. So, unfortunately, a few years later, that didn't work out. And that's when I really started learning a lot more about the spiritual aspect of things. I had been a Christian for about 4 or 5 years at that point. And I just started being more aware of the spiritual realm and where our battles truly lay. And I had a couple of more mature Christian friends who showed me some books and showed me some movies and taught me a lot more about spiritual warfare. And it was a gradual process over several years. I kind of became more mature and grew in my wisdom of that whole area. And I started, I guess, in baby steps, learning first, you know, what the power of the name of Jesus would do and pleading the blood of Jesus. But I didn't really understand demonic warfare so much. And then over time I did. And then an elderly couple began mentoring me in the late 90s, and they had a deliverance ministry where they helped people all over the world via Skype. And they really they wrote a book, and I, at the time, I was an author, and they asked me if I would edit their book. And when I edited their book, I learned so much, and I really grew in that area, and I really give a lot of credit to them for teaching me a lot.
Yeah. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened from there?
Well, over time, when I learned more about deliverance, particularly from them, they mentored me for several years, and I did a lot of deliverance with my husband and my, because I remarried. I married a Christian man, and we had a good marriage and had children together. And so as I learned and grew from a lot of what they taught me, then I did deliverance for my husband and myself and our children. And as I saw that improve our lives greatly, and I learned a lot through that experience, then I started sharing the knowledge that I was gaining with friends and people in church, and I helped kind of guide and coach some of my friends and other family members through deliverance. And then later I became a certified Christian life coach, and I found that while I was mostly coaching people through things like wellness and nutrition and finances and life and career choices, most of the clients that came to me had some level of demonic warfare that they were up against, or, you know, a spiritual battle of some kind. And so I started offering some of my deliverance knowledge when I was coaching my clients. And so I found that while I was helping people, you know, with career goals and finances and those types of things, they certainly also had the spiritual component. So I guess it's kind of morphed that way for me over time, to where I try to offer, I don't so much do a lot of deliverance as I coach people through the process and teach them how to do it themselves, I think, is more the way I approach it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's been quite a journey.
Well, that's all part of it. Yeah. So how was it you happened to finally come to Oklahoma City?
Well, my teen daughter was reading some books that I didn't know at the time were pretty questionable. She's got a pretty strong faith and a lot of maturity for being 18, but she was reading some books and things that I believe were door openers that I didn't know about, and she was suffering from depression and anxiety and some different challenges that she'd never had before. And I felt, since doctors couldn't figure out a root cause of a lot of it, I really felt when I prayed about it that there was a spiritual component, some door had been opened. And then when I found that she had been reading some books she shouldn't have read, and she had some unforgiveness and things going on, that's when one of my girlfriends in Kansas City, who is in a different kind of ministry, she told me about you and your ministry, and she said, you know, I've heard great things about Pastor Cox. I really encourage you to consider taking your daughter out there. And so we literally 3 days later got on an airplane and came out to see you, and it really just turned things around for my daughter. And I think she's seen me do deliverance. She understands it. But, you know, as a teenager, I think it was extremely helpful for her to come and learn and glean more knowledge from you. And it took her understanding to a deeper level, I think, seeing someone other than me, her mom, doing it and our friends doing it. I think it was extremely valuable for her to learn a lot from you.
Yes, we've often seen, Carmel, that a stranger is the best minister. Sometimes with someone they know or members of the family, they won't open up and lay everything on the table, you know, that they need to be laid
right
on the table so we know what to pray over, you know, and they're hesitant with someone they know real well, and they're particularly usually open up with a total stranger that they figure they won't be seeing anyway again. So it works
sure
pretty good that way. Well,
it makes sense.
Awesome.
And it was interesting, like, for my own personal deliverance, I mean, I hadn't been heavily into the occult, thank goodness, but, I mean, I had done things as a young child. I had gone to friends' houses for sleepovers, and they had pulled out Ouija boards and said, oh, let's play this game, and out of ignorance, I thought, oh, it's just a board game. I didn't understand the ramifications when I was young, and I had read horoscopes, and I had been to a couple psychics, and I mean, I didn't heavily steep myself in those things, but I had dabbled, I guess, in things I should never have done. And then I also remember distinctly when I was 10 years old, my great-grandmother, who I loved and respected very much, took me into her bedroom, and she said, I want to show you some jewelry that are family heirlooms. And I was only 10 years old, and one of them was her Eastern Star. And I mean, as a young child, I looked at it and I'm like, that's weird, what is that? And I had no idea, again, the ramifications of some of these things. So as I grew in my spiritual maturity, it was so helpful to learn how serious and significant these things can be, and to, you know, reject them and denounce them and plead the blood of Jesus over them. So anyway, that's sort of how my story went.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's awesome. And Carmel, think how many people don't have the background that you had, the spiritual background, to finally grasp what was going on. Think of the thousands and even millions that don't have the slightest.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, what grieves me so much, particularly with some of these horrific shootings and things that are going on, is, I mean, you hear law enforcement literally saying that when they interview these serial killers and such, that, I mean, they literally are telling them that they've had demonic voices guiding them through all these plans and preparations. And I think, in general, like you said, I mean, there's just thousands and millions of people that are so affected that don't even have any clue really what they're up against.
Yes, and I've often talked about how with some people, when I get the demons up, the head demon, for example, and I'm interrogating I had one lady recently, I guess the head demon, I was up about 20 minutes while I interrogated it, and finally I cast it out along with all the others that were still under its authority and sent them out to the feet of Jesus for Jesus to do what he wished with them. And and when I did that, I sent them all out. Then this woman starts apologizing, and she starts saying, oh, I'm so sorry, I dozed off. I didn't sleep well last night.
Oh, wow.
So I'd written all this down on the yellow tablet, you know, the lies and the gifts and how many demons were there and everything. I said, well, all this came out of your mouth. I showed it to
her.
She couldn't grasp it. No one else was in there with us. So she was a little hard. She just thought, you know, she dozed off a little bit. And 20 minutes had gone by. And so she didn't know anything that went on when the demon was up. And what makes you wonder is, what about spirits of murder and people, which we run into ever so often, and,
sure.
and others that are taking control and in doing these things, and the person isn't even there to stop them. The demon is at the surface. I find that's only about 10% of the cases, but my gosh, if you figure 10% of demon manifesting in people out there, that gets to be quite a concern.
Sure it is. Yeah, absolutely. Well, one of my first experiences when I was a brand new Christian, and like I said, I understood the power of the name of Jesus, but I didn't understand spiritual warfare in any deep level yet. But there was a pharmacist that was an acquaintance of mine, and him and his wife were going on vacation, and they asked me if I would house sit their house and take care of their dog. And so I said, sure, I'd be happy to. And so they said, well, you know, we'll give you a quick tour of the house, and here's the dog, and you're welcome to stay the night over here if you'd like, and that kind of thing. And so I didn't know anything at all whatsoever about their teenage son. I just only knew the couple, the pharmacist and his wife. So anyway, I spent the night at the house after feeding the dog and taking care of the plants and such. And I was lying in bed, and I felt something uneasy. I tried to sit up in bed, and something was physically holding me down in the bed, and I didn't know what to do. I was absolutely terrified. So I said Jesus as loud as I could, which I could barely get any words out. I mean, it was in a whisper. And the moment I said Jesus, whatever that entity was, let go of me. But I could see it going out of the bedroom and down the hallway and into another bedroom. And I didn't, you know, I'm not a nosy person, so I had never nosed around their house. I just literally had been going over for a couple of days, feeding the dog, taking care of the plants. So I, at that point, was so terrified. I thought, well, why did it go into this bedroom? So I opened the door of that bedroom, not knowing that was their teenage son's bedroom, and he was a Satan worshiper. And all over the walls were just horrific, demonic, satanic stuff all over the walls. So obviously that was why that spirit was in that house.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, it had decided to harass me. Needless to say, I never stayed the night there again. And I took a friend with me to finish feeding the dog until they returned from their trip. But anyway, that was one of my first experiences of seeing how real and how terrifying those kind of things can be.
Yes, we have cases like that right along, where people are seeing things and demons physically even coming upon people, and it's more common than one would think. And when they come for ministry, we always explore with them, well, is there anything in your house that might be giving the demons a legal right? Any books on how to do witchcraft, anything that promotes witchcraft? Of course, even Harry Potter promotes witchcraft, and other things that might be in the house. So ask the Holy Spirit to show you anything that shouldn't be there, and do a spiritual house cleaning. You don't have to wait for spring, you know.
Yeah, we've sure done that over the years. I mean, I'm kind of amazed how the more I've learned about things, like you said, that can attract or give these legalistic demons what they believe a right. I mean, I've really purged my home, and it's quite incredible, like you said.
Yeah. And then we've had some cases where the people that owned the house before were into witchcraft, and so the demons were lingering in that facility. And so when they bought the house, they move in, and these strange things are going on. I remember one case of the clothes were coming off the racks by themselves, and doors slamming, and then of all things, a water pipe broke upstairs during the night, and it flooded out the house. Well, they had to move out. Then, you know, for the insurance to come in and pay for it and redo it, and it took them some months to do it. And finally, before they moved back in, they called Deliverance Ministries and wanted me to come over to do an exorcism on their house. And while we were talking on the phone, this is rather interesting. The house, keep in mind, was totally bare, no furniture. They had moved back in. She was in there just using the phone and real quiet, and she hears the toilet flush.
Oh, wow.
And my conclusion was, I kind of think that the demons, they realized that she was talking to Deliverance Ministries, and they just went ahead and flushed themselves down the tube.
Yeah, that's the thought that came to my mind when you were getting towards the end of that story. I think you're probably right. Wow.
But I did go over, and my wife and I, in fact, and led them through dedicating the house to Jesus and going around anointing and taking authority over any demonic activity that still lingered. And they never had another problem after that. So how much of that is going on around the country? Yeah,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
And very few
well, and then unfortunately,
figure out what to do about it.
Unfortunately, nowadays there's so many people, too, that have glamorized this whole paranormal interest. And so I think it's sad. I mean, I'm a travel writer as well, and so I've been blessed to travel all around the world for 20-something years as I've written my travel columns. So I've seen a lot of interesting things, and I cannot tell you how many, for instance, historical resorts and hotels and places that I've been hosted to do a story by a tourism bureau or a convention and visitors bureau, and they'll say, oh, this is this beautiful hotel we'd like you to stay at and do a story, and I'll go with my family. And then once I'm there, they'll tell me something like, oh, well, we were on this TV show for paranormal stuff. There's all these ghosts here, and I'm like, I don't even want to know about it. That's not why I'm here.
Yeah.
I don't even want to know about it. You know, it's, and it's sad that that's become so glamorized in so many ways.
Well, at least you know what to do about it if anything comes around. And you
exactly.
Did, of course, that if I tell people if something's going on, like if they're asleep and it's tormenting them, if you can't remember anything else, remember the name of Jesus. There's still the power in the name if you can't remember to do anything else. They don't
absolutely.
Want to
I learned that.
The name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Praise God. And, yeah, these paranormal shows, ghost shows that show, they hook up all this equipment, try to show demonic activity in the house, but most of them, that's all they do. They don't do anything about getting the people free. And
right,
if
exactly.
They called some deliverance ministers that knew what they were doing, they could clean the house out.
Yeah, I know. Some people, I guess, ignorantly just think that it's fun and games, and it's far more serious than some of them realize, unfortunately.
Those things are there to steal, kill, and destroy some way, and they're doing it.
Yes.
So, yeah,
yes,
it's
absolutely.
Not a situation you want to play with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the last minute or two, Carmel, what would you say to the listeners to kind of wind up here?
Well, I mean, it's a journey. For me, it's been a process. I've learned, and I hope I still continue to learn. There's so many different things. I think that it takes time of praying for wisdom and discernment and reading and learning and listening. But the one thing that I gleaned from you that's been extremely powerful and helpful that I did not learn from previous deliverance people that I've known, that I mean, I respect and appreciate things that they taught me, but one thing that they didn't do is they didn't really teach me to thoroughly close the doors like you did. And so that has been a tremendous benefit for me to learn how to, for my own family as well as people that I coach, teach them how to make sure those doors are closed so that their deliverance is permanent and it continued, and they don't have to be, you know, redoing these same types of things over and over and over. So I just want to say that that's a final point for me that was extremely valuable and that I really appreciate that I learned from you.
Well, thank you, Charmel. And of course, if doors are still open, you can cast demons out with the power that we have many times. Sometimes you can't get them out because of those legal rights, but still, if those doors are still open and you drive some spirits out, more than likely they're going to be back through those doors in the next week or two or so.
And that was my experience.
I learned
that the hard way, so I was really grateful to learn from you how to be proactive in that area.
that door closing prayer really does help make a ministry session low key and no big deal about it. And the 16 cases we had Monday night, there were no outcries in the whole area there. It was all nice and orderly, and people, yeah, they were yawning, coughing, and burping and all, but nothing violent or loud. And that's the result of closing those doors initially. And, yeah, it makes a huge difference. It took us some years to kind of, I've been tweaking that door closing prayer actually for 39 years now, and I'm still tweaking. Mm-hmm. So maybe in another 40 years I'll have it done.
Keep me posted. We're all works in progress, aren't we?
Well, thank you so much, Carmel, out there in California. God bless you, and go forth
in
Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Too. I appreciate you.
Bye-bye.
Have a good evening. Well, it's interesting about talking about the cleaning out the houses, because a lot of times we can move into a situation that there's something there, and we have no idea that... you have no idea what you're walking into. Maybe something that you haven't done yourself, and it could be that some sort of door or something was attached to the building. So it is a good thing to anoint your home, dedicate it to Jesus, and command any spirits are there to get out, and also reveal to your ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you if there's anything there that shouldn't be there.
Yes, so true. So many do not have any idea.
Yep, and it's just a simple process to go through, because we're told if we ask in Jesus' name.
You might mention the book again, Ralph.
Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus by Pastor Cox. You can get that by calling into the office number with Richard. We ask for a $20 offering with that. But when you ask the Lord to reveal things to you, whether it happens to be those you need to forgive, if there's unrepentant sin in your life, or if there's even something in your home that shouldn't be there, the Lord's going to reveal it to you. If you ask in sincerity and ask in Jesus' name, He will reveal it to you. And that's a good thing to have to do from time to time, to ask the Lord if there's anybody that needs to be forgiven, if there's any unrepentant sin in my life, and even if there's, Lord, if there's some sort of door or anything I have in my home, my life that shouldn't be there, reveal it to me. And it works. It works, because when you ask in Jesus' name in faith, He does reply.
Yes.
So,
amen.
Amen. So that is Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus by Pastor Cox. You can go to deliveranceusa.com and all the training you need for self-deliverance, and all the steps are there so you can take care of yourself if you don't have the opportunity to get out to Oklahoma City, or you cannot find someone to get there for you. And we do thank you for joining us this evening. And we look forward to seeing you next week.
God bless everyone.
Good night.
Luke,
good night.
Chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome. Authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome. Nothing
will harm you,
nothing
will harm you.